time for Lickin' on Lending.
Welcome, everybody. Good to have you with us.
Welcome to Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news, all related to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Transformational Mortgage Solutions. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. Now here's your host of Lickin' on Lending, David Lickin.
Let's begin.
Welcome, everybody. Good to have you here with us. It is Monday, another beautiful Monday, where we get to do a podcast with you, sharing with you all that's going on in the industry. It is October 12th, 2020. Again, this podcast is created by mortgage professionals. It is for mortgage professionals, and we're just thrilled to have you as our listener. Our commitment is to bring you timely information in an audio format that you can listen to anytime and anywhere. We're going to have Pete Mills on with us as a guest on the Hot Topics segment. We're going to be talking about the upcoming MBA annual conference. Very excited. I'll be there attending it virtually, as we all will be virtually attending it. And looking forward for him to talk about all that's going on there. So very excited about that. So anyway, you'll want to be sure to tune in to the Hot Topics segment. I want to say that we're so proud to be a part of the Industry Syndicate. You can go out to industrysyndicate.com. You can take a look at all the other industry podcasts, mortgage industry podcasts, real estate related podcasts, and download some great information. This is a great resource for many who are out there that are looking at how to interact with realtors, that are working with salespeople, a lot of great stuff out there. Again, our podcast is primarily focused on the C-suite, the leadership, the general direction of the mortgage industry. We are at times, and we're going to be getting in and doing some hot topics in the area of coaching. We've got an exciting friend of mine coming on to talk about executive coaching. That's so important. But also, we're going to be talking a lot about in the future of what's going on in technology. And I've got Alan Pollock. He's dialed in. We're going to be talking about that somewhat to tease that up when Al and I are talking here in a few minutes. But so excited to have you with us. Also, check out mortgagemedia.com. We're on that website as well. And we're all trying to, again, bring information and resource to the industry in an audio format. So glad to have you be here with us. I want to say a shout out to all of our listeners. There's so many of them out there, but a specific shout out to the MBA. They do a great job of helping us get the word out to the industry about important topics. They help us, we help them. So it's a great relationship. And so thrilled with the MBA. And that's the focus of our hot topic again. Our sponsors again are the MBA, Mortgage Bankers Association of America. And be sure to check out Marina Walsh's interview that we did on September 14th, talking about where costs are at and where earnings are at. Highest record earnings, 166 basis points average. Independent mortgage bankers, net revenue, pre-tax. We have clients that are well up in nearly 300 basis points net pre-tax profits right now. Just crazy where we're at. Where is it heading? Well, we're going to learn more next week at the MBA conference. Talk about that in a bit. Also, a special thank you to Finastra, whose Fusion Mortgage Bot solution automatically addresses the compliance issues while delivering enhanced borrower satisfaction and increased productivity. I had Steve Hoke on the podcast back on August 24th, 2020. And Steve and I had a great discussion about some of the tools that they have. So check out that podcast. Also, Lenders One, we got Justin DeMolia and the friends there. They do a great job. We had Justin on June 1st talking about some of the initiatives going on at Lenders One. And then along with Mortgage Collaborative, both of these co-ops provide a competitive advantages for lenders and vendor members. Again, we're all missing these conferences that we have as a result of COVID. Can't wait to get back. It's just one of those things, we're all hungry to get back into one-on-one meetings and one-on-one connections. So important. Also, I want to say CMLA, Community Mortgage Lenders of America. We had Michael Jones on September 21st. Just a few weeks ago. Check out that podcast, as well as Indicom, which supports every stage of the mortgage lifecycle with automation, outsourcing, and compliance. Go listen to the podcast we did on August 31st with Linda Bomar and Narayan. That podcast was a good one. And there's some resources there, especially in the underwriting department. Again, talk about that in just a minute with Alan Pollock. Also, Incelerate. This company helps lenders close more loans by engaging borrowers and prospects. And check out the podcast we did with Josh Friend back on August 17th. And then Ainsworth Advisors. Be sure to check out what we did September 7th. And also AI Assist. They're a great company that adds artificial intelligence to the sales process. Check that out, as well as Innovian. Ted Kramer has kind of one of the best solutions to help you optimize your mortgage executions. You need to check out and go to Innovian, Innovient.com. Check it out, as well as Knowledge Coop Mobility RE. Both of these do a great job helping you focus and recruit top loan officers, as well as providing tools on how to connect effectively with the real estate community. Also, we had Brent Amler on here just recently on September 2nd. We also had VendorSurf and Vidyard. We talk about them regularly. Check them all out. A special thank you to our regulars, Alice, Andy, Alan, and Matt. It's a holiday, so Matt called in and says, hey, nothing to talk about in the market. Looking at the economic calendar this week, Tuesday we have the Consumer Price Index, and that is expected to be down just slightly, as well as core CPI. That comes out on Tuesday. Also, we have the federal budget expected to come in at a negative 124. Then on Wednesday, we have the Mortgage Market Index, and then we have the MBA Purchase Index, as well as the Mortgage Refinance Index. I believe all of those are coming out of the MBA, as well as the Core Producers Price Index. So CPP, and be sure to check those out. Those are a very indication. Then on Friday, we got some the Philly Fed Business Index. It's not going to have a big mover on us, but becoming just slightly under what it was last month. And then jobless claims. That's going to be an interesting one. And what else is going on? I'm looking at Matt's nbslive.net. So anyway, be sure to check out all of the economic data and how it's rolling out. I love this website because you see exactly where everything is on one page. Appreciate them so much. Let's get over and hear what Rob Van Rapphorst has for us this week. Rob?
Hi, I'm Rob Van Rapphorst. Welcome to the Mortgage Minute and the latest news from the Mortgage Bankers Association. Last week, MBA submitted comments to the FHFA in response to its newly released strategic plan for fiscal years 2021 to 2024, which provides insight on the activities and priorities of FHFA in the coming years. MBA applauded many of the market conduct reforms included in the plan, but raised significant concerns with FHFA's request for Congress to grant the agency examination authority over non-bank servicers. We feel that FHFA's rationale for seeking such authority is flawed. Going forward, MBA will continue to advocate for more permanent reforms that are needed to ensure the GSEs operate with financial strength and appropriate market conduct post-conservatorship. MBA will also educate Congress regarding our concerns with the FHFA's request for examination authority over GSE customers. Also last week, CFPB released new guidance on the Real Estate Settlement Procedures Act, or RESPA, and Marketing Servicing Agreements. The guidance explains how RESPA Section 8 applies to MSAs, gift, and promotional activities. Going forward, MBA will continue its advocacy efforts at resolving uncertainty surrounding RESPA Section 8. That's it for now. Thanks for joining me.
Good job. I always love what Rob Van Rapphorst does. Appreciate the MBA Mortgage Unit, appreciate the partnership with the MBA. Be sure to check out what the MBA provides in the way of Mortgage Action Alliance. You should be a member of the MBA. But the good news is you do not have to be a member, even though you should be. You do not have to be a member to be able to have your voice heard. They have this wonderful app called the Mortgage Action Alliance app. You can download on your smartphone, look at all the initiatives, things they're recommending, and you just do it with a few clicks. You can have your word. You can be behind talking to your senators and representatives, folks. It is such a powerful tool, and I strongly recommend that you check it out. MBA does a fabulous job of representing our industry. Why anyone would not want to be a member, I do not know, especially with the advocacy of what they do for us on the Hill. That's just one of many things. So looking forward to be talking with Pete Mills later on in the podcast here shortly. Also, I want to say especially, Rob Van Rapphorst does such a good job. He's always coordinating things for us at the last minute. And so, Rob, you are one valued and appreciated guy, especially with all you do at the MBA, but especially with what you provide for us here on the Lookin' on Lending podcast. Let's get over to Les Parker's TM Spotlight in this week's Macro View of the Markets. Les?
TM Spotlight Soundbite is brought to you by Power Seller, making hedging easy.
Girl, you really got mine now. You moved them so they don't know what they're doing. Last week, disingenuous negotiating by the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, caused stocks and treasuries to bounce around. She'll really do more. Now the good news about COVID-19 therapeutics, vaccines, and death rates support the U.S. economic revival. In turn, the risk declines that all central banks will monetize their respective countries' debt, so gold really breaks down. Markets believe reason and science prevail over panic and alarmism. Rising uncertainty in an uneven yet positive recovery hurts gold, oil, stocks, and bonds. You better lock loans. These views are my own. Go to tmspotlight.com to subscribe to my daily newsletter.
Okay, that's the result of Gary Cantrobone and Les Parker working together. There you have it. Good job. Message is good. And where we're going with the markets. Check out Les Parker's newsletter. It's free. That's actually a subscription service that you can get for free. But when you're subscribing at tmspotlight.com, if you put in the word power, P-O-W-E-R, for power seller, in the code section, you will be able to get the paid subscription for free. Pretty cool. Matt Graham, of course, is not with us. Alice Alvey is also enjoying her holiday today. Again, this is a banking holiday, so a lot of people are off. But we've got Alan Pollack here, and I always love Alan here. And Alan, it's good to have you joining us. Thanks so much for dialing in. I have some things I can't wait to talk to you about today.
It's fantastic, as always, Mr. Licken, TGIM, to be here. So what do you got for me?
Well, first of all, I just came off a call with one of my clients, and everyone is facing this problem. Underwriters are overworked. They've got more volume. And what we're looking at is, you know, how do you continue to just go out and hire and steal people? You need to create your own. But the other thing that we're seeing more and more lenders using is technology and using artificial intelligence as well as tools that will be able to allow underwriters to underwrite more loans. In other words, we can't hire enough people, so we've got to get them doing more and do it well.
Yeah.
Now, we're going to do that is through artificial intelligence and through giving them tools, technology tools. So I want to talk about that. Actually, one of our clients listening in on this podcast, he says, I can't wait to hear what Alan has to say. So Alan.
I love it. Well, I appreciate you bringing me one listener today, David. So thank you.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Well, it's funny you bring this up, and I do my best, and I know you do as well, not to plug myself or where I work or write anything like that. And we try and stay very in the middle. But I will say it's so funny because this morning I had the exact same conversation. I've been working on a project. Now, let me take I out of this at this point. But the industry has been working on a number of ways to fix that problem. And there's two ways to do it, right? One is with human capital, and you either have that human capital or you've got to go lease it, right? And there's plenty of that out there. You can go lease it. And two is to truly take advantage and use the technology that we've been working on for so long. Half of my career in mortgage was building automated document and data recognition and technology to use that data and process all of the pre-underwrite, post-underwrite, post-close, pre-ship, even post-close QC rules. And so if you have not yet taken the time to work with a vendor to do that, you want to do that because the technology is there now. It's not perfect. There's a human element involved, but it's not your human element. These vendors have that human element already built in, and they do a belt and suspenders approach to make sure the data and the documents are accurate. You have the right version of the documents you're looking at, and they'll even identify when signatures don't match certain technology solutions. The ability to take all of your loan volume and onboard it, right? And be able to, one, automatically identify the document. Just think about if you're acquiring TPO business. So David, actually make sure I support the client you were talking to today. Are they onboarding TPO? Is it correspondent files or just retail production?
It's all retail production, an abundance, plethora of refinance, more than they want, but it's, so they're all retail, no the correspondent at this point.
Sure. So there's a lot of different angles you can look at this, but if you look at it from the point of ingesting documents that the borrower uploads, depending on your point of sale or your technology provider. They may just be a blob of document or just pictures from a cell phone that were taken and uploaded. So being able to recognize them, verify that they meet the satisfactory, the condition that they've been uploaded for, or the stipulation, let's say. But then even more importantly, being able to take at any point in the process, whether it's pre-underwrite, even if it's post-close, pre-ship, before the file goes out to the investor, being able to verify you have all the documents, and do the data elements, are they correct? And are certain calculations, certain income and tax calculations, are they correct? Being able to use technology to do that, it's there today and you should be leveraging it. If you want to reach out to me, I can give you the name of a couple vendors that do that. I'd be more than happy to. It's Allen, A-L-L-E-N, at TMS-advisors.com. Yep. We also do that at my company. But there's lots of technology out there. And that's where I would be focusing my time. Even if it's not going to give you an immediate reduction right now, it's an investment that's going to help you in the short term, but really in the long term.
So let's talk about creating some hope for these people. There, talk about what you're seeing. What level of productivity increase are you seeing lenders use, whether your solution or some of the others out there? I think we're going to get back to the point where we can get 8, 10 loans per underwriter underwritten a day. It's because they're going to be
loan per person per day.
I mean, we've got to get back to that. We can't continue throwing bodies at the problem.
Yeah, so I've got one client right now, actually, where I've actually gone to the human capital approach, where we've just given them a number of post-close auditors. This lender does about 2,000 close loans per month, and they don't have to hire any more people. It's all leasing humans, and they now have been able to take on and move all of that over. But I'm working on the second phase of that project, which is this checklist that these post-close auditors are doing. We're able to automate 75% of the entire checklist using technology. That means when you look at loans per person per day, David, if 75%, one auditor could only do 3 loans a day, and that's really interrogating the loan file, right? Imagine if you only had to give them 25% of each loan. So right there alone, you've gone from 3 to many more loans per day, but the accuracy level of what you've been able to take away from them is much higher. Now, that 25% that's lower, that's left, doesn't mean that it's still going to take 25% of time. It could have been super simple things like verifying 2 signatures match, or verifying that some piece of data that needs to be reviewed is reviewed that technology can't review, because technology is not completely perfect yet. So anyways, that's a huge lift, David, if you consider just having people do the exception-based items or just that small leftover component. So how many loans per person per day? What if one person with the technology was clearing 10 to 15 loans per day compared to the 3 that they could have done prior?
There's so much opportunity. What are you seeing as far as the various solutions that the companies that you're working with are implementing? I mean, we all know everyone's trying to throw bodies at the problem. But
I mean, the faster that we truly adopt the eNote is that this problem can go away, because we're working with all digital data. And so now we're talking about automating, having access to first-gen data and automating the rule process around that data. That's huge.
So
you're going to basically empower all of our technology partners to have the data they need and the ability for them to verify that we have all the different checkpoints in the process. Why can't our point of sale technology solutions have the data and verify, you know, checks and balances for us up front, right? And then our LOS partners have more data in the middle and they can verify. And why not have compliance not only ran before you submit a loan at the very end, but why not have compliance ran up front, right? Those are the things that we're going to empower our industry to do. We're going to completely change the game once we can get more of our industry continue down this fully digital path.
Get some questions in coming in from our listeners. One of them is, will the LOS ever cease to be the system of record? Are you seeing any movement in technology, Alan, as it relates to a move away from the LOS being the system of record?
It's a great point. And, you know, so many people have brought that up. The question is, right, can you, when you look at MERS, right, and you look at the ICE exchange and all the technology solutions they've acquired, could they become the next repository and the database of record? Sure, why not? And there's others that could be as well. But the reality is that they're not during the origination process, right? They're an after the fact. And so the loan origination system today is the database of record.
which now ICE owns, one of the biggest out there. So they now are in that game and in that spot.
Completely true. But again, it's difficult to say that. I do think, though, the role of the LOS is going to change. And for loan origination systems that are not componentized or built more like a microservices platform, where they can interact with many different technology solutions and be organized as you need them, that's where things will be different, right? You want to be in a system that you can push more focus to the point of sale, or you can push more focus to a third-party vendor, and you have that flexibility. But as of today, the database of record is still the LOS.
And you don't see any changes on that at this point?
It's hard to say. I'd like to see some changes. I think it's going to bring up some very unique opportunity, especially with the liquidity of these assets and being able to value them up front. More digital data we have, the better quality assets we'll have as well.
Yeah. We also are seeing more consolidation within the tech industry. I have another question coming in about that. Is this something that we're going to continue to see? And is it going to go advantage of the bigs? Now, you're working for a particular company. It's privately held and, you know, open, close, good company, doing a lot of innovation. But then you look at ICE, you look at Black Knight, you look at these behemoths that are out there now that are really gobbling up in a very strategic way. We watched also Compliances was just recently acquired. So what are you seeing as far as acquisitions? Is this just buying up the old stuff and trying to use it, and then there's a new crop of new innovation coming in? Or is it really going to be an advantage to the companies like ICE and Black Knight?
Yeah, it's such a good question. The tricky part, it's almost like a multidimensional answer, because when you really get down to it, being a tech vendor is really tough. You've either been around since the late 90s and early 2000s, and you have so many band-aids that you're raising your hand and saying, you know what, it's time to sell. If I get the right offer, you've probably been saying that for a while, you know, you're ready to ride someone's coattail now to become bigger and better faster, or you've done it and you're ready to walk away. So that's where you see a lot of acquisitions. The second thing, David, that's really tricky is it's very hard to break into this industry. You have to know somebody, or you have to know the business. And so you can't just, you know, there was a lot of money in Silicon Valley for a while, a lot of new tech solutions, especially once point of sale came around. And there's still some, but unless you've got a bank investing in you or a lender poning up cash to get you running, you don't know the industry, you don't have access to tools and to data, it's very difficult. So for anyone that has started something that's a good idea and you can meet the right people, you're going to be acquired. Or you're going to die on the vine, which is really sad, right? Because that's, our industry is not about that at all. We foster innovation. It's just very difficult. And then you've got the bigger entities, like you mentioned, where they have a large customer base that they want to serve. And lenders, they're tired of dying death by a thousand cuts, right? How many more solutions can I pay for? How many more vendors to manage? How many more, you know, A, B, C, and Ds I have to work with? It's easier when you have one partner that takes care of everything. And so it's a difficult answer to give you a perfect response to.
Yeah, it's going to be real interesting. That gives us a good shift over to the MBA. We're about ready to bring Pete Mills on. I'm going to talk to him about the upcoming conference. But what are you anticipating as far as some of the announcements that we might be seeing out of the MBA? You know, every time we go to one of these annual conferences, that seems to be the place, the opportunity where everyone wants to make some general announcements. Is there anything in the world of technology that you think we should be looking for?
Yeah. And then after that, David, I want to mention one thing I was going to give in today's update, but I like your change of direction today. Okay. I believe that we're going to be focused on exactly what we talked about, underwriting, right? Yep. How to use technology to advance underwriting, operational efficiencies. I think I heard the MBA say that lenders are finally seeing profits. Operational costs are flat or falling, depending on who you are and what you're investing in. The fact that we're continuing, we know as an industry, we have to continue to invest in more technology. So we're going to see that. I think collateral evaluation and what happened with COVID and appraisals and e-closings, those are all areas where we're going to continue to see more innovation. And then I also think that looking to continue to empower the consumer and partners is going to be a really hot topic. And then, of course, David, diversity in technology as well as in mortgage lending. I don't think we're diverse enough. I think that there's many more opportunity for women and other types of people to participate and to have those chances. So that's one thing. And then I did want to mention, this is such a big announcement. The last 2 weeks, we didn't mention this because we've had such awesome topics. Blend just made an announcement going back a couple of weeks now that they're now tighter into consumer banking. So if you remember many weeks ago, they talked about online account opening. I mean, almost 2 years ago, and it's been something that I've also been very close to. Well, now, as one example, M&T, they're now doing the ability to, when you log into M&T as a consumer, you now can see six different products that you're already approved for. And Blend has expanded what they do into personal loans, credit cards, all those
that's
types of things. And that's where we're going to see a lot of the customer experience being smarter, more empowered to the customer. I think we're going to continue to see a shift that way. That's not going to go away at all.
Yeah. Good stuff, Alan. But we got to get moving over to talk to Pete Mills here. So thanks so much for joining in, seeing as we had a few others enjoying the holidays. And so many people have said, man, I just wanted to sit in and listen to you and Alan talk about that. So they got a chance to. And we're going to be doing more of that.
I love it. Hey, David, next week we're going to talk about the phrase, let me see your swagger. It's a tech term. It's flying around the C-suite. Some folks don't know what it is. Some folks are just repeating it because they think they know what it is. But we're going to talk about let me see your swagger next week.
All right. I can't wait. Thanks so much, Alan. Looking forward to seeing you virtually at the conference.
Likewise.
All right, man. Talk to you soon. Have a great week. Folks, that wraps up this week's Mortgage Industry Update. We're now going to get into the hot topic. For those of you who are listening live, just stay right here. We're going to get right into it. But for those of you that are listening on a downloaded basis, the next podcast, because we break the hot topic out into a separate podcast. So just stay tuned. You'll be listening to that in just a moment as well. Folks, it's time for the hot topic. And we have as our special guest, Pete Mills of the MBA. Pete, good to have you, Fred.
Thank you, David. Thanks for having me on today.
Well, I do appreciate it coming on and talking with us about what's going on. Well, you do so much.
My group is engaged in developing our policy positions and all the issues impacting the residential mortgage finance space. And then we also have a member engagement function, which is really how we work with our members in their business segments. So as you mentioned, we have a number of groups of independent mortgage bankers that we work closely with. We have a community bank network, a credit union network. We have a group that works with REITs, warehouse lenders, et cetera. So it's a way for us to talk to our members in their individual business models or business segments.
And you have been one of the key individuals in our industry as a big influencer. The MBA conference is going to happen, but it's going to be virtual. And I want to hear about what has gone in the preparation to make this so effective. I'm really anticipating this to be very dynamic and in many ways, even possibly more effective than those when we meet in person.
Yeah, this is going to be a virtual annual. We are building the plane as we're flying it. It's going to be, I think, we all do a lot of Zoom calls or go to webinars. This will not be like a 2.5-day Zoom call. It's going to be a real virtual experience, much different than just sitting and looking at your computer for 2.5 days. We're going to have a lineup of great speakers, as we always do. It's going to look and feel like an actual annual convention, but you're going to be engaging through, obviously, your computers. But it's going to be a really engaging presentation. We previewed it with some of our members with the mock-ups of the screen platform, the virtual platform, and I'd say I was blown away. We've done some earlier sessions this year, NBA Live back in May. It was very good. Our State of the Industry call was quite good. It was one of the best virtual platforms I've seen. From what I'm looking at in terms of what's coming up for the annual convention, this blows it away. It's really, really impressive. Our conference team has really gone sort of above and beyond and trying to replicate the actual experience of the annual convention, but in a virtual context.
I've talked to several people that are part of that test group or the, where you're getting feedback, and they go, man, this is really going to be good. I love it. I mean, a virtual never replaced being there in person. I mean, so much comes as a result of the connectivity, but a lot of it also comes, I've missed sessions because I'm racing to go there, and you see someone you haven't talked to in a long time, and they say, hey, I got to talk to you. I've got this. And it's all about business. We're there to do business. And so you miss sessions. That, I think, is probably – I'm going to probably attend more sessions as a result of this being virtual than I would otherwise. And so we're not going to have those impromptu, hey, can you meet with me, do this. So I think there's going to actually be more focus on the content, which is where I want to go next. But before we go there, I want to talk a little bit about – you've done these virtual conferences. You talked about testing this concept. Talk a little bit more about – some of the experiences that have been at this point while during the COVID-19 pandemic.
Yeah, so we did our State of the Industry back in May, had some great speakers lined up for that. That was a full-day event. We've done our risk management conference in a virtual context. But again, I think the platform we're using for annual is the Spinal Tap reference. It goes to 11. Almost a three-dimensional experience. You'll walk in, you'll see an exhibit hall, you'll see the signs for the various sponsors and exhibitors. You can click on those. You can go into rooms. There are ways, David, you mentioned, you can actually have chat sessions and meetups by phone, by text. There are ways to replicate that networking experience that you get in a, really? In a real in-person event. You'd be able to get those in the virtual context. And so even if you do miss a session because you go into one of the expo hall rooms, if you will, and get engaged in a conversation, you can go back out and go into that session that you missed and catch up to it after the fact. So you really will get the full experience. It's like getting extra hours in the day. If you were to go to an MBA conference in person and miss a session, you can actually go back and turn the clock back and go in. It'll be impressive.
I can't wait. You're not going to believe this, Logan. What's about ready to happen? Let's talk about some of the conference speakers. Who do we have there this year? I'm on the website right now. I see you there, but talk about them. And what are some of the things
we've got a great lineup. FHFA Director Mark Calabria, Secretary Carson will be speaking from HUD, and then CFPB Director Kraninger are also speaking. Calabria and Kraninger in particular are going to be live in person. So those will be great sessions. And we have in sort of the non-industry space, but always educational, we've got presidential historian John Meacham. We've got a political session with A.B. Stoddard. And then one of the keynotes will be, and this will be fascinating, just given the world we're living in today and everything we've dealt with since the George murder, we've got civil rights icon Andrew Young speaking. And I think that's going to be a really fascinating session.
Yeah.
We've got the CEOs of Fannie and Freddie joining us as well. So it's a typical, really solid lineup that you would see at any of our annual conventions.
And will there be an opportunity for us to ask questions? So, I mean, nice thing we have the open mic sessions at many of these when we have the guest speakers. You're able to walk up in the, intimidating as it is, walk up in front of several hundreds of people and ask a question. And I've done it several times, but if that is oftentimes some of the best parts of when that interactivity happens. Is that going to be present in this conference?
Yeah, we'll have some of that. And I think one of the interesting things is when you do an event like this in virtual mode, you get people who might not have walked up to that mic, 1,000 people in the room. They can type in the question into the chat boxes, and we'll have folks monitoring those as they come in, feeding them to the speakers. And so as you get into our breakout sessions in particular, those will all be interactive. So we've got a whole raft of typical breakout sessions that we would have at a normal conference as well. So we'll be doing something on IMB liquidity management challenges, particularly in a COVID world of high forbearance levels, digital mortgage trends, data security and privacy, a couple of sessions on sort of HR management, talent acquisition and retention, remote workforce management challenges, all those sorts of things. And those will all have interactive Q&A sessions associated with those as well. So you get the opportunity to interact with the speakers at each of the sessions.
Is there a particular theme?
We should have been in Chicago. And so you'll see some Chicago-related theming along the way as well to at least, you know, replicate the best we can the fact that we should have been in Chicago this year, which is one of my favorite cities.
Let's talk about the breakout sessions. There's so many of them, but if you could kind of give us a rundown, are there any themes, are there things that are particularly you're focusing on? The biggest issue out there, of course, is how can you hire people? We're just stretched to the limit of everyone who has anyone who could even spell mortgage seems to be employed in the industry right now. And then you heard us talking earlier before the Hot Topics segment. So we were talking about how we're employing technology more and more. What are some of the themes that we can expect to see in some of the breakout sessions, Pete?
Yeah, so I mentioned a couple of them, and in the whole talent acquisition, retention, but also, I mean, we know the refi boom's not going to last forever, so talk about right-sizing and how we're going to look and prepare for what 2021 will bring. I will mention the fact that Mike Pratt and Tony Marina Walsh are going to be doing their market update and forecast. That'll be live as well, and so as you think about what those numbers and projections are looking like, and how that's going to fit in, there'll be a follow-on session on talent acquisition and retention and right-sizing. So good way to think about, here's what's coming, now how do I manage through that? And again, I think the remote work issue continues to be a really significant one, not only for us on the policy front. We're working with the CSBS to try to get greater flexibility, for example, in remote work for independent mortgage bankers. In particular, the limits on licensed activity having to occur from a licensed location. So remote work is a real challenge. And again, it's something we're doing. But the more I talk to our CEOs and COOs, they're all looking at the likelihood of a really different way we go to work, if you will, even post-COVID, even when we have the opportunity to go back. I think there will be folks that will prefer to work in that remote environment. Productivity has really largely sustained and in some cases increased. Some of our members report that they've had even better productivity in a work-from-home type of environment. So a lot of discussions around those issues in a couple of our breakout sessions.
Yeah. Yeah,
David, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention we are going to have a tech showcase. And so it'll be virtual, but we'll do our tech showcase. So a lot of the technology vendors will be there, not only a tech showcase, but also in the virtual exhibit hall as well.
That's exactly where I was going to go. So how in the world do you have to do a virtual exhibit hall? I can't wait to hear and wait to see how you guys pull this one off. But they said, those that I talked to said, you're going to believe what the MBA has come up with. It's really amazing. Very innovative. Talk about that.
Yeah, it is a virtual replication of what the exhibit hall might look like. And you'll see various exhibitors and you'll see their signs and you'll be able to click through and engage with that exhibitor and that sponsor in real time, if you will, in their booth, so to speak. It's a virtual booth. So, again, really impressive technology that we're using here and as close to a in-person event as you can probably get in an online world.
Thanks. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. Again, this is going to be vastly different than an in-person conference, but I think there are going to be some different results from that. Wonder how much we might carry out of this into future conferences once we all get back together. So I'm really looking forward to it. And then the other part of this thing I want to talk briefly about is the social hour. I've been invited to and will be a parting of MORPAC and some of the others. Things. There's some wonderful events planned. How the heck do you do that, Pete? I can't wait to hear about that.
Very similar. We'll have a series of receptions, and you mentioned a couple of them. MORPAC and Mortgage Action Alliance, which is our political action committee and our grassroots network, will be having a reception. You'll be able to click through and engage with folks in that room while you're there. There'll be some casual presentations, but also plenty of opportunity for Q&A. I believe we're having ODF, our foundation, is going to have its own reception hall as well. And then my team, the Residential Public Policy team, will be basically walking folks through how we do our policy development and how we can get more folks engaged in doing that sort of work. We are a member-driven organization. We take our direction from our members. And so having our members engaged in our various policy committees is really important to us. And so my team will be out there. You'll be able to meet the folks that staff each of our various key committees and meet them in person, so to speak, and hear about the work that they do. And hopefully we'll get more folks engaged. We can't do the work that we do on the policy side without a real active and engaged membership who bring issues to us and help us develop solutions and alternatives to some of the things that our regulators and legislators might propose. So it'll be a really interesting and I think useful event for us as well as for the folks that are going into those reception halls.
You know, I'm looking at the agenda right now, and on Tuesday, you got the whole conference just got a great lineup. But are you anticipating anything from Kathy Craninger and also Ben Carson? And is there any indication that we might be hearing more information, get more insights into what we think might be an indication of policy moving forward?
I think certainly Director Calabria, who is moving down the path towards ending the conservatorships, every time he speaks, there's something interesting and perhaps enlightening about where that path is leading us, where he's taking the GSEs. So I don't have any specific indicators of specific announcements, but as you know, annual is quite often used as a platform. So we're looking forward to hearing Director Calabria's remarks in particular. Yeah.
And when are those going to be? As I'm looking on Tuesday's agenda, is that when is he actually?
Mark is actually on Monday, I believe.
Oh, he's on Monday.
Yes, he's sort of the opening general session, first speaker in the opening general session. So he'll kick it off, and then Director Craninger, I believe, is on Tuesday afternoon.
Yep.
And again, if you saw her at the State of the Industry event in May, she's a very engaging, and it's like you're sitting down with her in her kitchen.
There was just a warmth, and she just came across so effective. I'm really looking forward to it. I think there's going to be many aspects of this conference being virtual that are going to bring us a new experience, and I think it's going to be a good experience. Yes, we're going to miss seeing everyone and certainly miss seeing you there. One of the events that I love attending, and Marcia's so good about inviting me to be a part of it with my podcast, and that's the Empower event. I know there's going to be some Empower. Talk a little bit about what Marcia has planned for Empower. Is there going to be an event on Saturday for Empower, or is that going to be incorporated into the rest of the conference?
I believe it's incorporated into the rest of the conference, and I'm looking at the schedule as we speak right now. She's got a session on Tuesday afternoon from 3 to Tuesday 4 afternoon. And called The Power of Diplomacy and How to Make It Work for You. And those are really great events. I don't see the speaker listed here, so that might be a surprise, but she always gets top-notch folks at the Empower events.
Yeah, and I love what Marcia's doing with Empower and just empowering women and in a marketplace. It's so good. One of the other things, I'm looking at some of the questions that are coming in. One of them is the cost pretty close to what it is normally, or is because it's virtual, is it less expensive or more expensive to attend?
A little bit less. And obviously, when you factor in the fact that you do not have to get hotel reservations for 3 or 4 days, flight reservations. Our hope here is, in particular, that our members will use this opportunity to share with maybe a larger group of staff than they might normally, bring them into what MBA Annual is all about. And again, because we are replicating in large measure what the in-person event, the look and feel, great opportunity to introduce folks to it and expand the experience to a larger number of your typical staff that would go, perhaps get folks interested in attending in future years, and we'll go back to an in-person format.
Good. Another question that just came in from one of our listeners. Thank you so much, listeners. Keep them coming. We've got a few more here for you. But this one has to do with, you mentioned earlier about recording. I mean, if you walk into a session, but you get pulled out, but you'll be able to go back and listen to it. For how long? How does that work? Because we don't have recordings of these when we're in person.
So we've been doing that with our other virtual recordings and webinars and the like, and making those available to folks. I don't know if there's a time limit on it. I think if you miss a session, you can always go back and watch it at a later date. So if you are a paid attendee, you'll have plenty of time to circle back and grab content you might have missed because you were engaged with a vendor or an exhibitor or a sponsor.
Yeah, that's what I was hoping to hear. That's what I understood, and that's excellent. I think this actually might be another reason why people should register for this, Pete, because they're going to get a chance to be able to go back. If you miss a session at the annual when it's in person, so you don't have a chance to go back and rewind and go into that time frame, unless you can figure out how to be multi-present, you're going to be able to go back and listen to it. I think that's a big reason why people should get registered. Talk about registration quickly. I just Google MBA Annual Conference 2020.
MBA.org. It'll be in the main carousel. Click through and register.
Yeah. The social settings, are there any insights? What can people anticipate in the meetups? And I mean, how's that all work?
I don't know how you replicate the social aspect, but we will be having the concert MBA, which I think is interesting. Yeah. We'll be able to deliver a virtual concert with John Andrasik from Five for Fighting. If you went to the servicing conference last, I guess that was February, and then he also came to Colorado for the Midwinter Conference. He does a great show. And that was actually the last conference I was out traveling and visiting with our members was back at the Midwinter in March. So he'll be doing a virtual concert.
Someone that I know in the industry has invited me to a dinner. And I go like, how does that work? And they go, well, what we want is you and your wife to go out to a dinner. And we're going to suggest we got a deal cut with one of the steakhouses, one of the ones that are national chains. And we're going to go to dinner and we're going to ask you guys to participate. And we're going to all be at that same restaurant. And we're going to have a virtual dinner out. And I go, how innovative is that? So there's a lot of innovation showing up here. And Pete, I'm so excited to be a part of this and Jared, and I encourage our people to go ahead and register and connect. There's a lot of really exciting things that are going to come out of this, Pete. This whole COVID thing, what has been such an inconvenience and such a hassle. We're so fortunate to be in the mortgage industry because so many businesses have had to go out of business and we are hiring and growing and expanding like crazy. I want to say thank you, Pete, for taking time to be here with us today. I know how busy you are preparing for this and the planning. A lot of questions came in. What went into that? What's the behind the scenes look like? I can only imagine, but we want to wish you the best and everyone there at the MBA. And we're looking forward to being a part of this year's virtual conference and can't wait for us all to get back together soon in person. What's the first in-person event that's being planned in 2021?
We have a couple more conferences this year. We're still going to do our accounting and financial management conference. We've got our Reg Compliance conference, which was typically in September. It's going to be an early November date for that one. And then we go into the new year. Yeah, those will be virtual. We're virtual through the end of 2020. Yep. We're looking at the Independent Mortgage Bankers Conference in late January, evaluating the sort of state of having made a decision as to virtual, in-person, or hybrid. So that's still an open question. And then you've got our CREF conference, our Commercial Real Estate Finance Conference, also that's in right. January. So the early 2021 schedule is still opened up in the air as we're assessing sort of conditions on the ground and looking at possibly trying to do some virtual, some hybrid events. But we won't know that for another few weeks, perhaps, before we can make a definitive call there.
Well, looking forward to it. Again, thank you, Pete, for what you do at the MBA and for virtually what everyone does. It is such an important organization. And talk about membership. You, Tricia Megliazzo, which is a great personal friend of mine, as well as does an amazing job there. Let's give a shout out to her, as well as how some of the reasons people should be joining the MBA. What's some of the new reasons?
Well, I mean, I think the most important is still, I think, our the advocacy work that we do on behalf of the industry. And this year has been just incredible. And I have to shout out to my staff and our lobbying team staff and our research staff. The entire organization in a remote context came together to really work through and develop solutions to all of the transactional challenges of trying to originate and close and service really record volumes of mortgages when everybody's working remote. And that required a lot of engagement with Fannie, with Freddie, with Ginny, with the various regulators to make all that happen so that we could still deliver. And I've just been amazed with both what my team and staff and the organization has done, everybody working together through this crisis. And whether it's, you know, getting the adverse market fee delayed, whether it's getting all of the transactional mm-hmm. flexibilities. I heard your prior speaker talk about some of the things we've been able to do in the COVID context around appraisal waivers and alternative ways of closing loans using remote notary. All of those things we're looking at as how do we embed those in, because there are some efficiencies and we think those efficiencies can be achieved without introducing any additional risk. How do we keep those as a part of the permanent landscape on a go forward basis? So just a lot of activity. I still think there's a lot of room to run on the COVID-related challenges, and we're prepared for that as well. But it's just been a really tremendous, and so many of these issues that came to us came from our members, and that's probably the other important piece I'd like to mention is, you know, whether it's on our committee calls, whether it's on my weekly Monday call with our independent mortgage bankers that I do, a lot of these issues, the challenges of closing loans when recorder's offices are closed and those sorts of things, and the appraisers don't want to go into a house or the owner doesn't want to let them in. All those issues sort of came to us from our members, and then we worked on developing solutions to each of those things. And can't emphasize enough the important role that our members play in driving those policy issues.
Well, great organization. Everyone should become a member. If you're in the mortgage business, you should be a member of the MBA. It's well worth it. And I'm really looking forward to this conference. Again, Pete, thanks so much for taking time to be with us today. Really grateful.
Thanks for having me on, David. Good to talk to you.
You bet. Pete Mills has been our guest. He's Senior Vice President of Residential Policy and Member Engagement at the MBA, Mortgage Bankers Association of America. I encourage all of our listeners to go out and attend this conference. Alan was tweeting me and sending me some notes on this saying, I'm going to have to figure out a way to burn off some calories because I burn off so many when I'm at these conferences walking around. So you're going to be able to have a chance to engage more on the content that the MBA is providing. Pete, thanks so much. Look forward to seeing you virtually at the conference. Thanks, everyone. Good to have you with us. Next week, we're going to talk about coaching, and we're going to be talking about the importance of having a coach. I've got my good friend David Norris joining me on the microphone, so be sure to check back next week. Also, we want to say a special thank you to our sponsors, the Mortgage Bankers Association of America, Finastra, as well as the CMLA, as well as Indicom, Incelerate, Ainsworth, Mobility RE, and just go check out all our sponsors on our website. We're out of time, folks. Have a great week, and look forward to seeing you back here next week.
You've been listening to Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lickin of Transformational Mortgage Solutions. Join us next week.